Welcome to the jungle. What's cracking? My name is Jim Rome. Nice to be here. Glad you are here. I've got a tremendous program for you today. Let's get it started. The show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Every single day is different. Every show is different. I like the way this one is setting up. It looks like this. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. This is one of the best smack-off seasons we have ever had. Now we are officially 30 days out. Phone lines open. Hour number one is an open phone hour. I've got three interviews, and they start in hour number two. So you want to get in the first hour. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome, at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. Also, email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, so the interviews look like this. Three good ones. Orlando Magic head coach Steve Clifford, top of hour two. P.J. Fleck, Minnesota head football coach at 10:20 Pacific. Tim Layden, a feature writer for NBC Sports, top of hour number three. So the three interviews are right in the middle of the program, meaning your time to call is before and then on the back end of hour three. Also, it's a Jim Rome podcast, hey, episode 130. Man, I love that number. That's a strong number. 130 podcasts. Going off the board with this one, the frontman for the band Incubus, Brandon Boyd, joins me. Incubus, Brandon Boyd, Calabasas High grad. I'm fired up. I taped it yesterday. It's really good. Really thoughtful, very different. I think you'll like it. And if you like the band, you will love that. 1-800-636-8686. Also, a short week for me. I'm not here on Friday. Well, to be fair, I'm not here on Monday. So those are 2 days that you're going to lose to get qualified for the smack off. Don't waste time. First prize, $5,000. Second prize, nothing. Third prize, even less. One 800-636-8686. Also, something else. Adam Hawk is going to join me later on. And I'm going to tell you how you can get involved with the Smack Off, even if you're not in the Smack Off. You can be a part of the television product. So make sure you're listening for that. All right, starting with topic number one. Thanks to The Last Dance, and also partially due to the lack of live sporting events right now, there has been a lot of fawning over Michael Jordan the last 5 weeks, and probably more than a little bit of revisionist history as well. But it is Mike. And there's no doubt that Mike has earned a lot of the run and earned a lot of the love. It was an amazing era, and it was cool to roll down memory lane over the past 5 weeks. I enjoyed it. Don't get that twisted. I had a lot of fun with it. I enjoyed it. Except not everybody loved it. And at least one guy is sick of it. That guy is Horace Grant, a Jordan teammate. Not only a Jordan teammate, but a Jordan teammate who helped Mike win the first three rings. Horace is pissed. And Horace went on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 in Chicago yesterday and absolutely unloaded on Jordan and the documentary. You see, Horace is pissed for a number of reasons, starting with Jordan swerving way out of his lane to say that Grant was the most or was the main source for Sam Smith's famous The Jordan Rules back in the day. To Horace Grant, that's definitely a reason to go.
Lie, lie, lie. If MJ had a grudge with me, let's settle it like, man, let's talk about it, or we can settle it another way. But yet and still, he goes out and put this lie out that I was the source behind. Sam and I have always been great friends. We're still great friends. But the sanctity of that locker room, I would never put anything personal out there. The mere fact that Sam Smith was an investigative reporter, that he had to have two sources, to write a book, I guess. Why would MJ just point me out?
All right, so Horace is not happy. Quote, why would MJ just point me out? He poses the question, and then he answers it himself.
I mean, it's only a grudge, man. I'm telling you, it was only a grudge. And I think he proved that during this so-called documentary when if you don't say something, if you say something about him, he's going to cut you off. He's going to try to destroy your character.
Quote, during this so-called documentary. Hey, look, I get that Jordan carries a grudge like nobody else, but why is he grudging so hard against a teammate? A teammate that he went to battle with. A teammate that helped him win 3 rings. And not just carrying a grudge, but according to Grant, carrying a grudge and looking to completely discredit the dude and destroy his character. So Horace is coming hard. That's good. That's strong. But it's about to get even better and even stronger. Grant says that Jordan is the last guy who should be calling anybody out.
My point is that he said, I was a snitch. But yet still, after 30 or 35 years, he brings up his rookie year going into one of his teammates' room, which one of the teammates' room, and seeing coke and weed and women. My point is, why in the hell did he want to bring that up? What's that got to do with anything? I mean, if you want to call somebody a snitch, that's a damn snitch right there.
Damn, Horace getting nice. He's got a hell of a point too, doesn't he? Like, I'm a snitch? Did you just call me a snitch? Actually, you're the damn snitch, Mike. After 5 weeks of Jordan hype, Horace Grant strapped on the goggles, grabbed a sledgehammer, and started doing work. You see the way Grant sees it. Jordan's claiming that Grant is a snitch in a documentary series where he's doing snitching of his own. Like, you're lying about me being a snitch, and you're doing that after you've run an entire team under the bus for something that happened a decade and a half before the season that is supposed to be the focus of the doc. You're saying that I went to the media with private information about the team, yet you're sitting on camera running your mouth on private information about the team. Like, you're wanting to accuse me of airing dirty laundry, but you're doing the exact same thing about a team that had nothing to do with the actual team in the series. And you're doing it to get some run for your doc and make yourself look good. Like, I think Horace has a really good question. Why go there? Why tell everyone about the drugs and the women that your teammates had in their hotel rooms nearly 4 decades ago? Why do that? Other than to have a line or a soundbite to promote the doc and to remind everybody how great you are and how jacked up the Bulls were when you arrived and how much credit you deserve for turning the franchise around. It's a hell of an interview now that Horace did. And he wasn't done either. After absorbing some shots during the series, he was on top of Jordan, and he was landing hammer fists. And in case you didn't notice, Grant did not think too much of the series. It lost, at least not in the sense that it's an accurate record of what actually went down.
I would say, you know, entertaining, but we know who was there as teammates that about 90% of it was, I don't know if I can say it on air, but BS. In terms of the realness of it, you know, as I stated the other day, that it wasn't real because a lot of things that he said to some of his teammates that his teammates went back at him, but all of that was kind of edited out of the documentary, if you want to call it a documentary.
If you want to call it a documentary, in particular, Grant was calling BS on this notion that Jordan's teammates never pushed back. The way Horace tells it, guys did push back. Ask Grant, the guys who pushed back did not make it into the dock. And the only guys who didn't push back were the ones who couldn't, and those were the guys that Jordan went after the most.
He felt that he could dominate me, but that was sadly mistaken. Because, you know, whenever he went at me, I went at him right back. You know, that was, but in terms of Will Perdue, Steve Kerr, and the young man Scott Burrell. I mean, that was heartbreaking, you know, to see a guy, a leader, to go at those guys like that. I mean, I understand in terms of practicing, you know, you get, you know, you have a push and shove there, here and there, but outright punching and things of that nature and calling them the B's and the H's, you know, that wasn't called for.
That Horace is putting it all out there. He's holding nothing back. He's covering everything. Then he was asked about that story that Jordan had told a flight attendant not to give him a meal after he thought that Horace had a bad game. Grant said that some of that happened, but not the way everybody thinks.
I mean, anybody knows me as a rookie that if anybody, I mean, comes up and try to snatch my food away, I'm going to do my best to beat their ass. And believe me, back then I could have took MJ in a heartbeat. Yes, yes, it's true that he told the flight attendant, well, don't give him anything because he played like crap. And I went right back at it. I said some choice words that I won't repeat on here, but I said some choice words and stood up. If you want it, you come and get it. And of course, you know, he didn't move. He was just barking. But that was the story.
So who do you believe? I mean, that is strong. According to Grant, not only did MJ try to deny him his food, but when Grant got into him about it, and threatened to bust his ass if he tried to take any food off his plate, Jordan didn't do anything, according to Horace. He was all talk. If true, that actually makes Jordan look even worse than the original story. Bad enough to try to deny a teammate food after a tough game, but to do it and then not back it up when he calls you out, I mean, does that make you a bully or a punk or both? Again, it is a he said, he said thing. But after 5 weeks of Jordan getting his say, Grant wants to make sure that he gets his. And he had even more to say about the food on the plane.
But anybody knows me, where I come from and what I stand for. Come on, man. There's nobody in this earth will ever come and try to take food off my plate and not get their rear end beaten.
He's fired up. He's channeling some Lamar Thomas.
That's what
he's
I'm talking about.
About to get into an elevator.
You come into our house, you should get your behind kicked.
You come out on my plane and you try and lift food off my plate, you're going to get your ass kicked. He's channeling some Lamar Thomas and he's about to get into an elevator or go down the aisle of the plane. And he still wasn't done talking about the airplane food incident. He had more when he was part of a Zoom call with Ron Harper, Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges, sponsored by BetOnline.ag. Quote, let me clear something up about this food thing. Did he try to take my food? I would have beat his ass, guys. You come back and you try to take my food? I would have whipped his ass. There wouldn't be no Air Jordans right now. It wouldn't be no 6 championships. I guarantee you that. So finally, what Horace is saying, in case you're not picking up on what he's doing, you want to take my food? Come and get it. Tough guy, you can get this tray of airplane food, and then you can get these hands. There is so much from Horace Grant. I mean, that took up the entire open. There is so much that I still can't even get it all into one take.
Because
he's got more to say as well about Scottie Pippen, Jordan's relationships, and the doc itself. But clearly, Horace, and again, tip of the hat to Cap and Company, ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Really good interview. Clearly, Horace had had enough of Mike and wanted to call bullcrap on what he was hearing. I guarantee that Horace is not the only one who is a part of those teams to think that, but he was definitely the first one to say it and to say it like that.
To beat the ass.
But, again, he said. So who do you believe? Who's bitter here? Who's believable here? Who's credible here? 1-800-636-8686. Other topics, and there's a lot more where that came from. I do want to talk about Tom Brady. A lot of blowback. He's catching a lot of heat for rushing an immunity product to market at this time of the pandemic where TB12 is in full action. And for just $45 a month, he has got a product to help keep you safe. TB12, man. Unbelievable. Getting a lot of blowback and deservedly so. I have that story for you too. In addition to that, One more thought about the documentary in Jordan. The guy who made the pizza, the guy who made the famous pizza that allegedly poisoned Jordan, has surfaced. He said, I made that pizza, I delivered that pizza, and I am also here to tell you the story is not right. And not only that, this guy was a Bulls fan. This guy says he was such a Jordan fan, he named his kid Jordan, or after Mike. So you've got that too. There's a really good UFC beef that I want to get to. And today's player profile with a smack off coming up in about a month. In fact, exactly a month. The player profile is one of the dirtiest players in the game. That's your hint. Quick reaction before I go to break. Dear Jim, I have not seen The Last Dance documentary. I've been listening to all the coverage of it, both by you and others. I have to say, the only conclusion I can draw is that Michael Jordan is a complete a-hole. Lee in Hartford. You know, it's not really fair. You should watch it before you say that. Now, if you watch it and your conclusion is Michael Jordan is a complete a-hole, I get it.
That's bullshit.
But don't you think you should watch it before you decide that? I mean, decide what you want to decide. But I think you should watch it first. And I'm not saying he's a complete a-hole. There's so many layers to this thing. And for those who are saying that it's not really a documentary, right. It's not. Not in a journalistic sense. But it doesn't mean that it's not entertaining. It doesn't mean that it's not good. It doesn't mean that it's not worthwhile. It's just not a journalistic endeavor. It's kind of an infomercial for Mike. Hell, Mike controlled the video. Mike controlled the whole project. Mike was the reason it stayed under wraps for a couple of decades. I mean, we know this. It's not like they're trying to pull something over our eyes. They did this in broad daylight. We know that Mike ran the whole thing. It doesn't mean that it's not worthwhile. It doesn't mean it's not entertaining. But keep that in mind. Johnny Scabs tweets, why didn't Horace Grant tell MJ to get off him? Sign that terrible caller in Texas.
Get off of me. I mean, seriously, dude. Just get off of me.
That was Johnny in Texas. Johnny in Texas called the program, and we've had so many good calls that were good calls, and bad calls that were good calls. It's been a really good caller era the last couple of weeks, and for you, I'm going to call that an era, because for you, that is an era. But we've had a lot of good interaction, a lot of good calls. He called up and said, hey, you know, Twitter's a lot of fun. There's a lot of good guys on Twitter. But man, there are some jerks on Twitter too. And I just want to say, and then he just ran down his whole feed. Like, hey, you, get off me.
Get off me.
That guy, get off me.
Oh,
and you in Indiana, get off me.
Get off of me.
All of you, get off of me.
Get off of me.
All right, take a short time out. When we come back, you should get up in here if you want to be a part of the process. You cannot be in the smack off unless you're invited to the smack off, and you can't get invited to the smack off unless you have a golden ticket or you have a resume and a track record or a previous win. 1-800-636-8686. Hey man, don't be afraid. Call the show and whatever happens, happens. When your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop. Do not take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or your truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Or when you need auto parts quickly, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. So order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and then pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your front door. With free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Pretty encouraged that the Ask the Pros has been manned by somebody other than Bella. Nothing against Bella. Bella, nothing against you. You're awesome. But it'd be nice for somebody else to be a part of that thing besides you. And lately, others have stepped up. Keep it up. Wednesday is an ATP day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Ask me a question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So I go in my office this morning, and I see this leaf. Kind of weird, right? Like this big old maple leaf, like a big brown leaf. And I'm trying to figure out how that leaf got in my office. Like, the doors aren't open, the wind's not blowing, I didn't drag that leaf in. I go to pick up the leaf, and then I look at it, and I'm like, that's not a leaf. No, that's a big-ass cockroach. Yeah, I said it. That roach was like the size of a rat. That big. It's roaches on its back.
Yeah, I said it.
What are you doing there, roach? Alvin's like, well, dude, it would appear that he's sleeping. But he's not. He's alive. We airlifted that bitch out my office. So that was pretty cool. Top that, Magic. You got a story to match that? Because that's true. A leaf. Yeah, the reason why it was so weird that there was a leaf in my office was because there was not a leaf in my office. Of course, there was no leaf in the office. How the hell was a maple leaf going to get into my office? I don't know. I'd ask the same question about that big-ass roach. We airlifted him out. It took three of us to get that roach out of there. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so I said we've had a really good phone call week. One more thought about the player profile. When I mentioned it's the dirtiest player in the game, you know who that is, right? If you don't, I'm just going to tell you. Jeff in Richmond. Jeff in Richmond gets the jungle treatment today. You know, the crazy thing about Jeff in Richmond, I don't know what's more bizarre to me. The fact that he won it all in 02, or the fact that he has not been in a smack-off since 2011. Yet he gets that kind of respect because he's that kind of a caller. And he's got the chip. So I will do that. He won it in 02. He has not been in it since 2011. But to be fair, he was on hold in 2018. He just did not get on the air. So the player profile is Jeff in Richmond, a former champ, and we will have that for you later on. In the meantime, Steve Clifford next hour, PJ Fleck next hour, Tim Layton in the third hour, Brandon Boyd, the front man for Incubus, great band, repping the 818 is my guest for episode 130, and also clones. You know how I keep saying invite, invite, you need an invite? You could actually partake in a different way, and I can get you on the CBS Sports Network. Adam Hawk is going to explain that to you a little bit later on. All right, with that in mind, let's go to the phones. We go to Buffalo, Jake in Buffalo. Good to have you, Jake. How are you?
Yo, Jimmy. Hey, man, sorry for calling in yesterday and referring to sausage the way that I did. I promise not to bring up anything sausage-related today, other than to say, yo, Johnny in Texas, bro, your skin is so tight, ballpark Franks wants their look back. I mean, bro, it makes sense that you remind me of a hot dog because your face looks like it plumped when somebody cooked it. I mean, dude, I know you're a baseball fan, so I'll put this in terms you understand. You've got the head of steroid-era Bonds and the body of retirement-era Griffey. I mean, bro, your head is the horizontal equivalent of James Kelly's peak. I mean, bro.
Jake.
No. You don't like that cup.
I don't like that cup.
Yes, it was not the sausage reference that got you run. What is it about personal appearance is not show fodder that you don't get? That entire call was about Johnny in Texas having a fat face.
Fat?
Listen. We're not in third grade anymore. Have a take. Don't suck. Saying something sucks is not a take. And personal appearance is not show fodder. If I allowed personal appearance to be show fodder, the entire show would sound like that call. And then I would have never made it into the Hall of Fame. The entire show would be all of you calling each other short, fat, bald, pockmarked, ugly. Come on, man. Do better. Do better. If you want to do something like that, keep it on Twitter. Take it to Twitter. Keep it on Twitter. You've got your own show there. You know this. I've always said this. We've got three shows going on at once. The one that's on the air, the ones off to the side that we're doing right here that you do not see, and then that show you have for yourselves on Twitter. Stay in your lane. Stay on your show. Do not bring your crap to the big arena. Don't bring your crap to the big stage. If you want to be on my radio program, do better. Be better. You have to do better than calling somebody else fat. You have to do better than saying somebody else is part of a sausage fest. Come on, man. I've done this 30 years, all right? I do my prep. I'm a smart guy. I'm a talented person. I've got good takes. I have good relationships. And we do a lot of good interviews. You're bringing me down with that crap. Do better. Do better, or in the very least, man, just stay on Twitter with it. Hawk, as always, if all the lines are lit and you're directing me to that call, what does that say about you? And then what's that say about the other five that are on hold? That guy was first? That guy was going to set the stage? That guy was going to be a tone setter for today? The guy who got run yesterday for a sausage blast? You too, Hawk. Do better. When we come back, listen. That's not like false indignation. That's real. Do better. Don't bring me down. Got up early, came to work, did my job. I'm continuing to do it live. I will do more after we go off the air. And then I'll do even more at night. You're undoing all the good work I'm doing. Don't disrespect me and even my family by bringing that crap to my doorstep. Do better. When we return. Man, didn't I just get done giving you all this credit for the phone calls? How good they've been? Further disrespect to me. Do not bring that crap to my doorstep. Time now for a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Wednesday, hump day, roach day. Hump Jim day. Rome, what's cracking? Roach day. Steve Clifford, top of the hour. PJ Fleck, next hour. Tim Layden coming up in hour number three. And finally, somebody has clapped back on Michael Jordan. It's Horace Grant. And I did say, I laid it out, and I want to get into some more of this right now, but it is a matter of he said. Who do you believe? Who's bitter here? Who has the axe to grind here? Who's coming for whom here? Like, take Horace Grant. If you're on hold, stay there. Phone calls after this. But as I mentioned, Horace Grant was not done. He had a ton that he wanted to get off his chest. And you have to wonder, as good as that documentary was for Jordan's image, and as much as it was an advertorial for him and his career, you have to wonder if maybe some of this is going to boomerang on Mike. As an example, Jordan portrayed himself as a tough leader. Grant obviously didn't buy that. He essentially made the point that Jordan was a bully. As Grant said, he would take runs at guys like Will Perdue, Scott Burrell, Steve Kerr, guys that he could take runs at because that's what a bully does. That's the definition of a bully. Go at people who you know will not come back at you. But according to Horace Grant, if you challenge Mike, he'd back down. So Jordan would go after guys that he could beat up, and he'd back down from guys that he couldn't, according to Grant. And that's not just Grant talking. Check this detail from Jackie McMullen back in 2012 about Robert Parrish and his season with the Bulls. Quote, in one of his first practices with the Bulls, Parrish botched one of the plays and was amused to find Jordan jawing at him just inches from his face. I told him, I'm not as enamored with you as these other guys. I've got some rings too. At that point, he told me, I'm going to kick your ass. I took one step closer and said, no, you really aren't. After that, he didn't bother me. End quote. It's pretty badass from the chief. I'm not sure what's the better line. I'm not as enamored with you as these other guys. I've got some rings too. Or when Jordan threatened to kick his ass and told him so, I'm going to kick your ass. He took a step closer and Parrish said, quote, no, you really aren't. But back to Horace and the punches he's throwing now, reminding everybody that Mike will just break you off and X you out, no matter who you are or how close you've been, if you do not bow down to the king. He mentions Charles Barkley is a prime example of that.
I mean, you know, Charles Barkley, they've been friends for over 20, 30 years. And he said something about Michael's management with the Charlotte Bobcats or the Charlotte Hornets. And then they haven't spoken since then.
Credit Cap and Company, ESPN 1000 Chicago. If that's really how that went down, it would seem like Jordan can dish it, but he can't take it. Not if Charles Barkley, a friend for decades, is just doing his job. And by the way, is correct in pointing out that Jordan has not had much success as a team executive or owner. And then if Jordan cut him out, just cut him out, broke him off for saying that, that lends credence to what Horace is saying. I mean, whatever happened to the guy who was getting all choked up when he talked about leadership and winning at all costs? What happened to the guy who said,
winning has a price. And leadership has a price. So I pulled people along when they didn't want to be pulled. I challenge people when they don't want to be challenged.
That's Mike in the dock. What happened to the guy who said, I wasn't doing it for them? Or I wasn't doing it for me, I was doing it for them. This is the same guy who was saying, quote, my mentality was to go out and win at any cost. If you don't want to live that regimented mentality, then you don't need to be alongside of me because I'm going to ridicule you until you get on the same level with me. And if you don't get on the same level, then it's going to be hell for you, end quote. Except when Barkley ridiculed him to level up as an executive, and an owner, Jordan was not hearing it. Apparently, sometimes when you challenge Mike the way he challenged everybody else, Mike doesn't want to be challenged, apparently. And the thing about Horace was not just pissed on his own behalf, he was pissed for Scottie Pippen as well. Because aside from Jordan giving some praise to Pippen early in the series, most of the talk about Pippen was about all of his low moments.
I have never seen, quote-unquote, a number two guy decorated as Scottie Pippen portrayed so badly in terms of the migraine, in terms of the 1.6 or 7 second selfish. I have never seen this in all of my life. In the respect of Pip was out there, I think in game 6, could barely walk, getting knocked down on his back, trying to do whatever he could to help that team. And my point is, why was that 1.6 or 7 seconds in the documentary, so-called documentary, about Pip? MJ wasn't even on the team. Why was that in there? We handled that year fairly well as a team. Pip know that he was wrong for doing it, but yet and still, we went after the game. Bill stood up, said we had to say, Bill Cartwright, and then we handled it. It was over. It was over. We go on to take the Knicks to 7 games. So, I mean, it was over. Why bring that up? That's my question to everybody out there who's listening.
It's Horace Grant, and it's a fair question. If the series is about the final season, the so-called last dance, why was something from 4 years earlier included? Something that Jordan was not even there for. He was off playing baseball. That didn't concern him. He wasn't on that team, and as Horace said, the team handled it, and that Pippen knew he was wrong, even though Pippen did say for the documentary that he would not change anything. Anyway, if this was about Michael Jordan's version of the final season? Why was something that did not involve Michael Jordan, why was that given so much time in the doc? Why was it so important to Jordan to bring up the lowest point of Pippen's career? And if you want to say, yeah, well, because that was important, believe me, he left out a lot of important things. So why was it important to him to put that in there? As Jackie McMullen wrote earlier this month, people close to Pippen say that he's been wounded and disappointed by how he was portrayed in that documentary. Yeah, I can see why. One of the single greatest players to ever play the game. And in a series that's supposed to sum up everything, and much of the focus on him is about all of his faults. Yes, Jordan did call him the best teammate he ever had. He said that he could not have reached that level without Pippen. Right. Tell me something we didn't all know. It's like saying the sky is blue, water is wet. It's a fact. Everybody knows this. Nobody would debate the idea that Pippen was the best teammate Jordan ever had. Pippen is one of the best players ever. Period. Nobody would debate the fact that Pippen played a massive, massive role in winning those six rings. Except Jordan also called Pippen selfish for how he handled his foot injury, something that Steve Kerr and Phil Jackson both disagreed with. Jordan still seems to be questioning Pippen's migraine against Detroit and challenging his toughness on that, which honestly is pretty weak, really, on Jordan's part. Here's another fact. Bulls players love Scotty. They loved him more than they love Mike. One guy after another has talked about how much they love Scotty. You don't hear guys saying that about Jordan. Maybe that bothers Jordan. I understand. Leadership comes with a price. I understand. Mike wants your respect. Mike didn't want to be loved. I don't know. Maybe it bothers him that everybody goes out of their way to say how much they love playing with Scotty. And people aren't saying that about him. Maybe. Or maybe he has an axe to grind with everybody and wants to point out how much tougher and how much more of a perfect teammate he was. Maybe that bothers him. I don't really know. Or maybe, as Grant implies, maybe he's just a bully. Maybe he's using this series to continue bullying guys. I don't know. I don't know, but this much is clear. Not everybody is happy with the doc. And it's not just the guys that Mike went up against, like Isaiah. It's also the guys he played with, like Horace. And although Scotty hasn't said for the record, Jackie McMullen says people close to Scotty have said he's disappointed and hurt by the doc. So some of this is boomeranging on Mike. Where do you come out? Who do you believe? Again, this is a he said thing. Is Horace the one who's bitter? Or does Horace make some good points here?
Right there.
Let's go to New York. Woody in New York. Good to have you, Woody. How are you?
Fine, thank you, Jimmy. And thanks for the vine.
You got it.
I've been listening to the show since back in the day when Jeff in Richmond was wearing his Confederate reenactment uniform in his trailer park guarding his six-pack of Natty Ice from the neighborhood kids with a paintball gun. But I digress. I'm going to go with MJ here. Grant is the same guy who got his stones broken from day one from Mike, the same guy who Bulls owner Jerry Reinsdorf accused of faking an injury and costing the trip to the finals. Toss that in with being thrown back under the bus again for being the rat for the book. Oh, and I can assure you, he was the rat for the book. He was buddies with the writer and not buddies with Mike. And if you recall, that book was none too flattering concerning Mike. Orlando Magic was even hit with a tampering during the signing of Grant. Sure enough, he got paid. He thought he was going to the new power in the East. Mike was gone now. Yeah, true, they knocked out the Bulls, but they got smoked in the finals by Houston, and the following year, the Bulls swept them out the door. Shaq ended up leaving, and the last you heard of Orlando, no rings, no new dynasty. So, old Horace, he's got plenty of hard feelings. And if you didn't do anything back in the day, you had 7 years to do something. You're not going to do anything now. So just shut the hell up. Out.
Nice job, Woody. Agree or disagree, that's a strong take. Woody in New York. Go ahead, rock that, Alvin. Speaking of Orlando, Steve Clifford, head coach of the Magic, is joining me in 10 minutes from right now. Also, a programming note, I don't know if you pay attention to the nuances of the show. We now start officially at the top of the hour. Not a few minutes after, not 3 minutes after, not after a sports update, right at the top of the hour. So when I say 10 minutes, I mean really 10 minutes. Steve Clifford in 10 minutes. PJ Fleck in 28 minutes. Tim Layden, top of hour number three. The player profile with the so-called dirtiest player in the game, Jeff in Richmond, is coming. I wonder if he's going to show up this year. I wonder if he shows up this year and he gets on hold if he gets on the air this year. I wonder if this guy can come back after not winning since 02 and somehow turn that thing around. It'd be an amazing story. I know, clones. Not if he's making the exact same call that he made in 02, which is something you always accuse him on of. Either way, the player profile is upcoming. Who do you believe here? Like, who's the guy with the axe to grind? Is it Mike or is it Horace? And when Mike says Horace is the rat, do you believe him? Horace said, I didn't do that. The sanctity of the locker room is always intact. I would never do that. Yes, I was friends with the writer. Yes, I'm still friends with the writer. But I would never, ever do that. And how about Horace turning that on its head and saying, you want a rat? You want a snitch? You want a snitch? How about Mike? Mike was the guy that ratted out the team when he got here, when he talked about all the coke and the women and the weed in that room he walked into. He goes, what did he get out of that? Why would he do that? That makes him a rat. I got a rat. Remember, Mike referenced the traveling cocaine circus.
If you want to call somebody a snitch, that's a damn snitch right there.
I never heard that.
Not only a snitch, a damn snitch right there. So I'm asking you, who's the snitch? Mike, Horace, or Silk? I wanted to get to that, too. We have audio of Silk at the city council meeting. Stay tuned.